Stephen Watson is in the studio with us this morning. Morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen.
Thanks for coming on The One Live last night. Big, big reaction to your interview, Stephen, in which you were telling us about how you need another kidney.
Yes, Stephen, I've been overwhelmed by the reaction and the response. I've been truly humbled by all of the messages that I have received. The main thing for me is people are talking about organ donation, which is a really good thing. And obviously, if this helps improve the donor rate, and there are so many people in the same situation as me having dialysis and don't have a great quality of life, if it means that they can end up getting a transplant, then it's been certainly worthwhile. So thank you very much for giving us the platform last night to tell that story and for this morning.
There's a lot of this bearing your soul, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be, yes. I mean, I have been quite private about my situation for about 9 months because I simply just wanted to get on with life. But I had a good, hard, long think about it, and I realised on behalf of all those people who are on the list, it would be a good thing to do, that I could use my position to try and raise the profile and raise the awareness. And I think it's been a worthwhile exercise so far.
If you hadn't have been through this, do you think you'd be the type of person that would donate?
I remember
when it is,
and I remember when I had my first transplant. And I'll be honest with you, at Queen's University, I remember trying to give people donor cards, as they were then. It's obviously all about the organ donor register. But before I had my transplant, I would have been probably quite sceptical about it, like a lot of people are, because I always assumed that someone had to die to donate their organs, and that was obviously an incorrect perception, because my dad, who's still alive now, we're a living example of living donation. And I just thought it might just seem a bit strange. But when you hear how much good it does, and one of the stories we heard in the programme, which went out earlier in the week, Life on the List, a man lost his wife during childbirth, and she ended up donating and helping five people have extend their life, which an incredible story. So people donating their organs, it gives people a second chance at life. And as I explained to you in the programme last night, the amazing staff in the City Hospital and this living donor programme that they have been able to embrace for the last 10 years means that they have trebled or quadrupled the amount of transplants they do per year. They're doing more than two a week, and which is an incredible testament. They are genuinely leading the world in transplantation, and it's because Northern Ireland is a very altruistic, it's a very giving place, and certainly looking at the reaction that I had last night, people were offering, how do they find out more about donation, how do they donate, and if even one of those people comes forward and donates, then to help someone get a transplant, it's been very, very worthwhile.
And your surgeon was with you last night.
He was
with you last night, and so I got jolted back when he said this, Stephen, and this is tough stuff. You're 47, and he said that if you do not get a kidney, that you have a 1 in 2 chance of dying within the next 3 years.
Yeah, that was
I'm sorry to say it starkly, but
yeah,
when that is said out loud, what does it do?
Well, I hadn't really thought about my mortality before until he started talking about it last night, to be honest.
Honestly, you'd never thought about it?
No, not in the slightest, because I had almost 30 years out of my first transplant from my dad, and I'm very confident of getting another one. I'm just a very positive person, and I know I will get another transplant. And at the moment, I'm doing, yes, 4 sessions of dialysis a week, one extra than most other people, to give me a better quality of life. And yes, since I've been in the dialysis unit, I've seen a few people pass away who are in the dialysis unit, and that does make you sit up and think, my goodness, I wonder, could that happen to me?
So you've seen them come in.
Absolutely.
They haven't got a kidney, they could have been alive, and they don't come in anymore, they're gone.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's obviously it's a very sad time for everyone involved in the dialysis unit. I mean, the people that I didn't get a chance to mention last night, Stephen, are the incredible nursing staff in the dialysis centres across Northern Ireland, because some of these nurses are almost spending more time with the dialysis patients than they are with their own families, looking after them. I've got incredible nurses who look after me, four times a week, and they do a remarkable job. And as I said to you, the dialysis unit is a fairly depressing place, but they make it they make it different. And because when you see people connected to a machine, and if they weren't on that machine, they simply wouldn't be alive. It's not a very happy place, but they make it worthwhile.
And can you help me understand, Stephen, why, if you continue to get dialysis, why that's not enough? So why is there a clock on your need to get a kidney?
Well, I suppose, you know, you're having 24 hours dialysis a day with your kidneys. I'm getting roughly 18 hours a week. So you can imagine that that's obviously not particularly good. You know, you need more dialysis, and being connected to that machine over a period of years isn't particularly good for your body. It's okay for short term. I mean, some people have been on dialysis probably 8 or 9 or 10 years or more. Which I hope isn't going to happen to me. I've been on it just over 9 months, and I'm hoping and I'm very, very confident that I'm going to get a kidney transplant soon, which will then last me hopefully for another 30 years.
And why are you so optimistic?
I've always been a very, very upbeat person, and I suppose because I've had one transplant and it was so successful, I suppose I look at what the City Hospital are doing and remarkable stories every week. Tim, who you mentioned, the surgeon who was with me last night, I mean, he's performed more kidney transplants than anybody else in the UK last year. So I just know that the City Hospital is a remarkable place. And I have great confidence in them, and I have great confidence in I suppose, you know, a kidney coming from somewhere.
And when Tim said that out loud last night, and that's usually the type of thing that is a very private message to an individual. Look, you know, there's a 50-50 chance of you surviving here. And that's gone out into the public domain. I find it confusing that you say that you'd never thought about it before. Is that a defence mechanism?
No, genuinely. Genuinely, I had never thought about it before.
Should you think about it now?
I don't think so, no. Because what can I do? I'm either on dialysis or I'm not here. So, and I need a transplant. So I'll continue the dialysis as all the other, you know, patients across the centre as well. You know, there are hundreds of people on dialysis.
Sure. And they're in a similar situation.
Some are and some aren't. Obviously, some are not suitable to be on the transplant list. I'm very fortunate as it is that I am actually on the transplant list. A lot of people who are having dialysis won't ever have the prospect of another transplant. So dialysis for them is it. And when it's described as a prison sentence for them, it really is, because that's what they're going to have to do for the rest of their life. I am very fortunate that I am on the transplant list. That is why I keep myself so healthy. And I suppose, yes, you could get very down about this. You could get very depressed about this. But I do see many other patients in the dialysis unit who you know, perhaps don't handle it in such a positive way as me. But I'm determined to stay positive. I'm determined just to keep as normal a life as possible.
And we, in terms of that normal life as possible, you know, you've got a big BBC job and that takes you around the world. And we touched upon this on the TV show last night. But, you know, broadcasting, I'm not sure if the public realise, but, you know, they see you in front of the camera. But broadcasting, there can be a lot of waiting around. How do you fit in a dialysis appointment with reporting at the level you do?
With difficulty. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's not straightforward. But it's something that I've been determined to do. You know, sometimes, for example, I have to have dialysis Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, so I can work on a Saturday and a Sunday. I have to juggle those days around. One of the coordinators up in the hospital, Randa, who I have tortured because I try and change dialysis sessions and shuffle them all around. You know, she's had dialysis booked for me, you know, everywhere. I try and plan it as best I possibly can. So, yes, I mean, I mentioned last night I had it at the Ryder Cup. You know, I had a couple of sessions when I was in Paris. So I just went in early in the morning at, you know, half past six, had it for 4 or 5 hours, back to the course by lunchtime, and then just continue my job as normal.
There we are, seeing you smiling on the telly.
Yeah, and I know this may sound odd, but I actually feel quite proud that people didn't actually know that I had anything going on, and I was able just to do my job exactly the way I was before. I mean, we've been really, really busy recently. We've made a documentary with you know, Irish rugby captain Rory Best. We've had the Life on the List programme, which we started over a year ago. I mean, I didn't make that programme because I was having my issues. We made that programme because it was 50 years of the renal unit to try and highlight the amazing work in the hospital. It just so happened, ironically, I went back on the on the list in the middle of making the programme. So, listen, work has been really, really busy. Life has been really, really busy. I haven't been able
and
to
that's
play.
That's clearly the way you want it, and you're determined that continues.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to keep going. And I think if you've got a positive frame of mind, and I think that, you know, you don't let this get in the way, I believe that that's a very good thing. I'm not playing as much golf, unfortunately, but that'll come.
Does dialysis make you sick? Like, are there times where, again, we don't know, but are there side effects of the dialysis?
Yes. I mean, yesterday before I did your show last night, I was in for dialysis. I was in about, you know, 20 to 7, 6:45 in the morning, got out about 12:30. And yesterday was one of the rare times I actually didn't feel too good on dialysis. I felt quite nauseous. Yeah, so I've been fortunate on dialysis that it hasn't been too bad for me. Yes, it leaves you washed out. It leaves you feeling pretty tired. But as I say, look, there's no point complaining about being tired when you're permanently tired. You just have to get on.
Is that what it does? It gives you fatigue, does it?
It does, because, you know, I'm on a fluid restriction of 1,500 millilitres a day, which I find quite difficult because I used to drink 6 or 7 litres a day. You probably don't even think what you drink in a day. You just drink. I'm on a very restrictive diet, like a really restrictive diet.
So what can you eat?
Not a lot. I can tell you what I can't. Basically, everything you eat, I probably couldn't.
Everything
eat.
I eat, you shouldn't eat.
Yeah, fast food's out. You know, potatoes are out. Tomato-based things are out. Cheese is out. You know, not a lot of dairy. Your chips are out, processed food is out.
So what can you eat?
Well, for breakfast, I'd have, you know, Weetabix. I have some small portions of fruit, maybe a bit of chicken, a couple of eggs a day. But it's very, very restrictive what I can eat.
Have you gone through stages of your life where you're angry at this? Why me? Did you go through that phase?
Not really. I suppose recently I kind of thought about back in the day when I found out I needed my first transplant. I do remember what it was like back then. My dad offering to give me a kidney, and I said, no way, I'm not going to take it. And, you know, he said, well, if you don't take mine, you're going to deny somebody else an opportunity to get a transplant. So, and I did back then. I suppose I've been thinking a little bit more about that. Not that I took my transplant for granted during the 29, 30 years that I have it, and it's obviously still working a little bit now. I didn't take it for granted, but life was just pretty straightforward. But I do think now, you know, it's only when you go back on dialysis you start to realise the freedom that you had before, because dialysis, for all of the patients in the hospital, it is restrictive. I mean, it does control your life. It's 3 and 4 times a week. You know, it does get in the way.
And for those people, you know, it's such a major decision whether to donate or not. And I think the most natural thing to come into someone's head is, well, what if my other kidney fails? What about me? And I was going to use the word selfish there. I'm not even sure if that's the, you know, is it selfish for me to, well, okay, here's full disclosure. So before you come on last night, I think you were there, and someone said, Stephen, would you donate a kidney? And my honest reaction in my mind is, I'm not sure. I think I should. I'm certainly thinking about it now that I've met you. You know, I really genuinely am. But what about those thoughts, Stephen? What would you say to someone like me as I'm thinking, well, you know, what if the other one packed in?
I can understand that. And I think for someone to donate to one of their family members, that's a no-brainer situation. But for someone to walk in and be an altruistic, just an anonymous, you know, donor and donate to a stranger, and it's happening regularly in Belfast, in Northern Ireland, which I think is a remarkable thing that people are doing. Yeah. It's a massive decision for them. People have all different sorts of motivations to want to do that. Some people just may want to do some good. It's very rare that someone who donates a kidney will end up having a problem with the other kidney. Very, very rare.
It is
very, very rare. And if they do have a problem, they end up going to the top of the transplant list. But the reason that they rarely have a problem is because the city hospital won't allow someone to donate a kidney if they're not fit to donate a kidney.
Okay. So all the checks are done first?
Absolutely. There are stringent tests, and they will not take any risks. They do not want someone donating a kidney and then something, you know, happening to them. They obviously want them to lead a very healthy life as well. And I can only quote a man called Anthony Loveless, who was in the Life on the List programme, and he said, look, I went in on a Sunday night, I had the kidney out on a Monday by keyhole surgery. It's remarkable. I was out on a Tuesday, I had minor discomfort for a couple of weeks, and I'm completely back to normal. I don't mean to sound trite, but it was a minor inconvenience to me. That's kind of how straightforward, it seems crazy, but that's how straightforward it is to donate a kidney. People are walking around with two, they only need one. It's like flying a plane, you've got two engines and one's in reserve. We've just been built with a reserve kidney.
It's the ultimate act of kindness, isn't it?
It is completely the ultimate gift to try and give someone back their life. And I hear stories all of the time of people who have done this, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's, I hear remarkable stories about people donating to strangers. And it is, as you say, it is completely the ultimate gift. To give someone back their life, I don't think there's anything more powerful than that. And I understand.
And is it really that? Giving back life? Is it really that?
Yeah, of course you are. Because basically at the moment, people on dialysis are kind of looking through the window, but they're not taking part. They're exhausted all the time. When they come off dialysis, they're not going home and leading a normal life. I'm very fortunate that I am pushing myself and I am able to do my job the level I'm at. Because I look at the majority of the rest of the dialysis patients, very few of them are working, if any of them are working. So they don't have a great quality of life. So by someone to allow them to give them their life back, to allow them to go on holiday, to allow them to do just normal things is I think, it's a remarkable thing.
Here's a horrible question, but sometimes I ask them. Are you desperate for a kidney?
Of course, I desperately want a kidney transplant. Yes, because I want my life back to normal. That's the truth. As do all of the people on the transplant list, and a lot of them have been on the list a lot longer than me. I am also fortunate that I had nearly 30 good years for one transplant. Some people have transplants they only perhaps last 10 years, they last 15 years. I had 30 years of a fantastic transplant, and I'm confident of getting another one. But of course, I want to get back to normal. Absolutely.
And what way does it work, Stephen, in terms of if any of us decide to donate, you contact, you're assessed if you're healthy enough. And then, literally, what happens? Does it happen quickly?
Absolutely. The City Hospital have made this very straightforward, and that's why it's been such a success story, that you basically ring up the City Hospital and you say that you want to donate. You get put through a one-day assessment. Your assessments are all done in one day. In many other centres across the UK, you might have to go and have 8 or 9 or 10 different tests. They do it all in one day. It's down to blood type and tissue typing, and they will quickly assess if you're suitable. And if you are suitable, then they will end up doing a transplant for someone very, very quickly if they can find a suitable match. Obviously, if it's somebody in your family and it's a living donor, they will try, and if you're suitable to donate a kidney, they'll do that transplant within 6 weeks, which is remarkable, and that's why it's become so successful. And yes, for strangers who ring up and want to donate, that's how quickly it can happen.
What was the reaction like?
Last night? Listen, the reaction has been unbelievable. I genuinely have been humbled and overwhelmed by all of the messages.
There's a lot of people like you. I'm just noticing that when I look at Twitter about me, it might not be the same.
Well, normally mine's like that too. Normally mine's like that as well. Yes, the social media lit up last night. I've had so many messages. I haven't had a chance to reply to them all. And I appreciate every single one of them. People asking about donation, people, offering, how can I donate a kidney to someone to help someone out? How can I find out more about organ donation? And for me, that has made this, the reason worth doing, because I have been, I've been, private about it for a considerable amount of time. I just wasn't sure whether this would be a good idea or not. But I'm actually really glad I've done it, because it has raised the feedback that I've had. Everyone has said, look, you've raised really good awareness about this. And I genuinely just hope, Stephen, out of the back of all of this, if one person in that dialysis unit gets a kidney transplant, then I will be really, really happy. And if more than that, get transplants, then that's going to be remarkable. So Stephen, thanks to you again for giving us the profile.
You don't need to thank me. You don't need to do that. I wish you well.
Thank you.
All right, and stay in touch with us, and thank you.
Thanks a million.
Thank
Cheers,
you.
Thank you.
For more information, you can visit donatelife.co.uk or the telephone number 02895 048293. We'll make sure we put that out on my Twitter feed, and we'll make sure we put it up on the Nolan Show website. Donatelife.co.uk 02895 048293.